website, obviously apart from items that need to be considered in confidence. And I ask elected members if they foreshadow any item where there might be a conflict of interest. Not seeing any hands up there, so we'll keep moving. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee meeting? Moved, Councillor Duncan. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now on the agenda, we have a presentation item. So I'd invite the officers from DEW to come forward. I'm not quite sure who's coming forward. So Mr. Jared Eaton, who is Ranger down at Glenthorne, among other things. So I think, Mr. Eaton, it's been discussed. You're going to give us a very brief presentation and leave time for councillor questions as to where we're at, and I suppose the brief history with how the playground has got to the current point. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so in terms of the presentation tonight, we'll give you a pretty quick overview, and as the Mayor said, we'll leave time for questions as we're going. So on to the first slide, please. So in terms of the project contribution, under the funding agreement, there was a schedule in there which talks about the relative contributions from both the City of Marion and the Department for Environment and Water. So under the funding agreement, it was required that the department puts in $1.2 million and into the main visitor hub build, that is around $6.52 million in there. So I'll bring out a couple of examples there, the civil services and work. So that's mainly the road and car park and service trenching for all the electrical services. That was nearly $1.9 million alone. The building works for the toilets, shelters, barbecue facilities, furniture and picnic facilities, that was about $1.45 million. So we've met that requirement under the funding agreement and met all the conditions of the funding agreement. Recently, there's been an additional $200,000 set aside by the department, which has now increased the contribution towards the Nature Play space from $2 million to $2.2 million. Next slide, please. So with the Nature Play space build, so Climbing Tree are a company who are a well-known Nature Play space builder, so they were appointed earlier this year, and the works have commenced from May onwards following the signing of the contract back in April. One comment I'll make in relation to the works, I don't think we've had a week where there hasn't been rain since works started. So there have been some delays in terms of progressing the build there, but we can't predict the weather and we just have to deal with the wet weather as it's coming in. In terms of the tender pricing, that was above budget by about $1 million as well. So that was roughly $2.96 million the pricing came in at. And as I mentioned earlier, our budget was $2 million until the recent increase to $2.2 million. For those who have been on site have seen that we have done a whole range of early works, including removal of the old infrastructure, levelling out a lot of the site areas, placement of some of the large rocks, and these large rocks are anywhere up to 20 tonnes, so you need quite large machinery to be able to get them in place. And also when you've got 200 tonne cranes moving around the site, it needs to be relatively dry as well, otherwise you end up having a whole load of access issues. Procurement and fabrication of elements are well underway, so the tree tower has now been put in place, and in the coming weeks the slides will also arrive on site, and we've completed the creek line restoration works running through the site. Next slide, please. With the Nature Play build, like all construction activities at the moment, it's really challenging in this current environment. Pricing is obviously an issue that we're having to deal with, and seeing the rapid increase in prices across the market. So I've got a couple of other examples in the presentation tonight that talks around how some of the building prices have increased over the last 12 months. So structural steel and timber on average has gone up by about 41% over that period. And we obviously haven't had anywhere near a 41% increase in the budget for those elements. Some of the original prices we were looking at for some of the structural elements, like the gumnut spinner, for example, we were estimating that would have been around $50,000-odd, and it was more like about $100,000. And I think anyone that's building in this environment would be well aware of those pricing increases. We might just go to slide 7 now, please. So I've got some examples in here that I talked about earlier, just showing you the price increases. So we had Ryder Levitt Bucknell do some analysis for us back in February this year. So an example there is the Gumnut Interactive Sound Sculpture, looking at $12,000 each based on their estimate. When the updated estimates were done a couple of months later this year, $56,000 each is what they were coming in at. And again, we've seen that across the board with all the different elements that we go around. Accessible spinner, $75,000 earlier this year, now $155,000. So a significant increase there. And there's some other examples there also, with the custom tree tower is nearly $80,000 more expensive than what we were originally looking at. So it's not new news to people around how the price increases have gone. Next slide, please. So for those who haven't been on site, this is just a couple of photographs now showing you some of the construction works underway in the visitor hub. So that's on the left-hand side, that's showing you one of the shelters under construction. So we've got 5 quite large shelters across the property. Majority of them have barbecues and drinking fountains in each of those shelters. And over on the right-hand side, it's showing you the creek line now running through the middle of the Glenthorne Green, and that will also be a feature of the nature play space. Next slide, please. So here's some examples of the construction activities underway in the nature play space. On the left-hand side is the 5.5 metre high tree tower, so that will have one slide coming out the top. We're also considering putting in a lower level slide in there as well. So the additional $200,000 I mentioned earlier that we've got as a contingency, we'll look to have a lower level access slide in there. So kids who are up 5.5 meters up in the air, if they need a lower level outlet to be able to move out of the nature play space, they'll have it off that tree tower. Over on the right hand side, that's showing you examples of and some of the accessible elements through there. Next slide, please. So this is 2 different photos, again, just within the nature play space, showing the construction works which are underway. You can see some of the log crossings in there. The one on the left-hand side underneath the grey cover in the foreground is where the one of the accessible sand pit areas will be. And the one over on the right-hand side is showing you an easterly view through the nature play space with the large toilet block in the middle there. And that's combined with a barbecue shelter. Next slide, please. Again, here's some examples of construction works underway. So that was a 200-ton crane moving those rocks in there as part of the rock escarpment. We've reduced the extent of that rock escarpment to around about 70% of the original volume, and that's just based on the amount of available rock that we had on site. It also takes into account some of the comments that we had received previously. I think it was September last year when we came along to council, and we've reduced that escarpment size. And over on the right hand side is showing you an example of the accessible creek crossings. We've still got to bring the paths up to the top level there, but that's again just showing you some examples of works underway. Next slide, please. So one of the other challenges we've had in relation to the price increases is going through the whole scope of nature play, and we have removed some elements. As I mentioned earlier, $2.9 million as an estimate a couple of months ago compared to the budget of $2 million. So there are some elements which have been reduced in terms of scale and size. So some of those elements do include rubber rock soft fall. So rather than having big sways of that rubber rock soft fall through the nature play area, we've really just concentrating on having that rubber rock soft fall around the key elements. So things like those, the swings, the monkey bars at the bottom of the slides where you need to have that soft fall in there and the protection for anyone going through those elements. Next slide, please. So that, yeah, that shows you the extent of the reduced rubber rock softfall. So what is presented there in terms of the shaded red was the original extent of some of the rubber rock softfall, and where it's the, I guess, the harder red colour is where we've reduced that to. So on average, that's around about a 60% reduction to the rubber rock softfall. What we'll do in terms of replacing that rubber rock softfall, we'll use a compacted gravel in between. So you're still getting around to those elements in nature play, they'll still be fully accessible. Next slide, please. So some of the examples of elements that we have looked to remove. So over on the left-hand side, that's showing you those interactive sound sculptures. They came back at a rough price of about $80,000 each. So in the original plan, we're looking at having, I think it was three of them in total. So we'll probably end up with just having one of those sound sculptures based on the price. We've also got some examples of some of the log net crossings over on the right-hand side, which have been taken out of scope at this point in time, just to be able to manage within the available budget that we have. Next slide, please. And again, I've just included some more examples in here around some of the, we'll call them the fossil etchings inside the logs that would be on the ground. So we have reduced the extent of some of those fossil etchings. However, if we start moving through our contingency and we do have money available from the contingency, these are elements that we would be happy to add back in as we're getting confidence around some of the prices. Next slide, please. And again, these are just some examples of the elements that I talked about, which have been removed at this point in time. So you can see down the middle in the bottom there, that's a hammock net crossing, which has come out. But again, as I mentioned, once we get some more confidence around some of the pricing going forward, we can look at adding in some of those elements. Next slide, please. So in terms of the funding agreement, we're still meeting the objective around constructing a citywide attraction. Yeah, we saw how successful the event was down at Hugh Johnson Boulevard over the weekend, and a lot of people coming and visiting down there. We still believe what we're building at Glenthorne will be certainly attractive to people of all ages and abilities, and it will definitely be a destination place. So given the, you know, I went past there on the weekend and we observed all the issues around traffic. So we're having the conversations at work again around how do we set up additional overflow car parking within the Glenthorne property, because we firmly believe that it will be a very busy space when it opens later this year. Next slide, please. In terms of the funding agreement, so we've met all of the council requirements under the funding agreement. We've got a lot of those iconic elements with the wow factor. We've also recently done some additional work with Climbing Tree, the builder who have provided us with a number of other concept designs that we can look through tonight if we have time, where if we are getting some additional funding coming through, we can certainly add more elements in. The way that we've done the construction works on the property there in the southern part of Nature Play, we've opened up the whole creek line area to be able to go and add additional elements should we receive additional funding. So that was the presentation.
That's it. Thank you. If you could actually just leave the funding agreement slide there. I'll throw it to councillors for questions in just a moment, but I want to sort of present the problem that we're grappling with. Mr. Eden, I can understand your view is the funding agreement has been capped to. That is the very question that's at issue at the moment. Even on what has been put on the slide there, council endorsement of final design will be sought prior to tender. Well, council has endorsed the design and it's not what's being built. So that's the problem. And the question is how we move forward with that. But if we're going to just try and, the two issues are money and communication. So to try and put it in context, I'm trying to look at your point of view or the department's point of view. There's a budget, $2 million, and you've done really well to try and build everything you possibly can from the design that council saw last year with that $2 million. So, you know, there's a tick for that. And that's your job, understood. From council's point of view, we're shown a design about a year ago with a whole lot of elements. And as far as I'm concerned, we weren't aware until a few weeks ago that a number of elements were being cut out of it. So apart from some general comment about cutting costs or whatever, but in terms of the specifics, that's only come to us a few weeks ago. So whatever interaction there might have been between the department and junior officers of Marion Council or senior managers at Marion Council, I don't know about all of that, but we're the decision-making body and we signed off on a particular design and that's not what's being provided. So that's why I wanted to have you come along so that councillors can work out a response to that. But just in terms of what I've said so far, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. You know, where do you think things might have come to a misunderstanding or whatever?
As I mentioned, one of the biggest challenges here is the price of construction works at the moment. So when we came to council, I think it was back on the 28th of September 2021, that was at the stage prior to having the pre-tender estimates. In those pre-tender estimates, as I've mentioned before, came in February 2022, and then we provided the full list of pricing to council based on the climbing tree tender. It was in late June this year, so the information had been out there for a period of time.
All right, I'll throw it open to councillors. Councillor Hull.
Thank you for the presentation, and I'd love to go and have a look. This destination play space is something that I hope for, and to have it in a one of South Australia's, I believe there's been a newer national park in South Australia since Glenthorne, but it's one of the newest in South Australia. It's really something. My question is, did anybody think to actually come back to the elected wing of both government and council, you know, the partners, to test the appetite to actually provide more money to you guys to do your magic? That's my question, because this is not the first time.
Councillor Hull, good question. Let's take it a step at a time.
I just want to phrase this, that this is not the first project that we've dealt with where there's been cost blowouts. So, you know, we know all about it. So I'd like to know why we haven't been tested in terms of putting more money in.
Thank you for your question. We've certainly been open the whole time in relation to costs, and I've always said to City of Marion staff, more than happy to come back to council at any point in time and have the conversation around it, but obviously we need to be invited to come to council. Yeah, we've had a number of meetings on site where some councillors have been there. I think we had a meeting with Minister Spears, it was back then in February this year, where we did a sod turning event for it. So yeah, and we're seeing every month as we go, prices are going up and up and up the whole time. I mean, people aren't wanting to provide quotes for any longer than 30 days at the moment, given the way the industry is going. It's such a fluid sort of moving transitional environment. I mean, I've got a couple of slides up there which you're more than happy to have a look at a later point in time, just showing you the increase month by month. Like it's a very challenging environment, and yeah, we could almost be back here on a monthly basis coming and asking for more money. So the question is, where do you sort of draw the line in the sand here a little bit, and we've got to be able to move on and commence the build.
Well, perhaps I can take up Councillor Hull's question and put it to Mr. Harrison as Chief Executive. Has the communication trail from Marion staff appropriately come back to the elected members in the last couple of months at least?
Through the chair, certainly my history of the event is in more recent time, I'd suggest the last 2 months, certainly post the state government election in March, but even since June, the date that you mentioned, I became aware of the fact there was going to be a proposed reduction of scope by the department, your department, in relation to some limited aspects, and they were largely impacting on the size of rocks and boulders and some of the protection matting correct underneath. It wasn't until, I guess, the last couple of weeks that I myself have heard a sense of reducing scope, in particular to individual components of playgrounds, swings and other things as well. I'm guessing they're more recent decisions that have been put forward.
That's correct.
But I'm suggesting that's a matter of weeks or the last month or so.
Yes.
Other than that, before that, it was simply the size and scope of some of the rock sort of structure as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
Councillor Blescu?
Yeah, just apologies for the phone coming in. I didn't forget, switched off that it was still on. So thank you, Mr. Eden, for coming along. My question, I have two questions. First of all, as you saw costs were going up, why wasn't that flagged that there would have been potential costs? I understand that that the costs, you know, have come to light in the last few weeks or months, but as there was a trend and there was some things going on in the broader space, why wasn't that brought not identified? I work with project teams and we ask for those trends, we ask for those early, and I understand that, you know, I'm guessing you might have been bringing those up to your board. So we needed that. And my second question is, how do we move forward? Obviously, we want this to proceed, and that's probably a question for staff.
Mr. Eaton, in response.
Yeah, thank you for your question. We have been working with council staff in relation to the project and been highlighting on a regular basis for our project control group meetings, which are roughly around every 6 weeks or thereabouts. And we've certainly been discussing at those meetings how the prices have been going and the challenges around securing some of those elements. I mean, you saw on in slide in the presentation, just, you know, $80,000 increases just for one element. So you've got to be able to take something out then to be able to get those iconic wow factor elements. So what we've tried to do then is maintain the integrity of those, you know, the big visible elements where, you know, kids will look at the tower and go, wow, look at that, whereas they wouldn't necessarily notice so much, you know, a couple of monkey bars and one or two swings being taken out.
The reason for my question is council is not being pedantic here. We have to be, because when we make the decision, it's pretty fixed. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Just one factual question, Mr. Eaton. The department's contributed another $200,000 to the nature play area as a contingency. Is that a recent development?
Yes, that's a recent development as of about 3 weeks ago.
And the other factual thing is, I'm not sure if you've seen the council report that we have tonight, the public agenda. No. So we have a list of things, some things that have been cut back, such as, and you've mentioned gumnut sculptures, et cetera, monkey bars, but there's still going to be some of those features there in a more limited way. We've got a list of omitted items, not very long, just rock fossils for etching, climbing ropes with platform, balance rope and stone crossings, amphitheatre, flying fox. Now, did you say that there are additional omissions as well as those items?
It was only in relation to the reduced rock areas, we've mentioned earlier. So they're the main ones which have been taken out at this point in time.
Okay. So what I want to canvas before we get on to sort of decision-making process, the items that are under the list of being omitted completely add up to about, a bit under 150,000, perhaps, round figures. So what I want to ask you is, if the project was given another $150,000, what would you recommend is the best thing to get the maximum play benefit out of it? Would it be putting those things back in or doing something else?
That's a very good question. So I've got another concept that we can put up tonight for discussion.
We're used to surprises here, so tell us now.
If we can just get up on the screen, please. Yes. PDF number one. Thank you.
Well, that looks good.
Okay, so what we've got here is another area which we cleared out. So this is in the southern part or extension of the nature play space down to the main dam. So what we're looking at potentially putting in here, subject to further funding being made available, is we could have a double flying fox, which is appearing there in number one, if you can see that. And we've got a whole load of other elements shown in there. So there's a whole range of different interactive, let's call it play features, and some which are, you know, more challenging than others. So if we're looking at like number four, for example, which is a rope traverse structure, we've got number six, which is up near the tree there. So that's a quite a large log scramble. We are already building one log scramble, but we could add another one in. Under seven, these are tumble bars, and then we've got weaving totems. And then under number nine, we'll be looking at having a rock climbing wall with a net climbing wall as well. So what I asked Climbing Tree to do was come up with a concept for putting additional elements in that space. So as a rough number there, the flying fox would probably cost someone in the order of about $60,000 to get the double flying fox through there, and each of those other individual elements in there would be in the range of $20,000 to $25,000 each, depending on the size of them.
The total for that package,
So that would be roughly off the top of my head around about $250,000 in that range.
Right. And another question which is thrown up by one of the recommendations which has been presented to us by staff tonight: if we added a certain amount of additional funding, could it be on the basis that the $200,000 contingency money from the department, for which we're grateful, would be spent first, and then whatever's necessary to get a particular list could then come out of the whatever balance?
Yes, we could definitely do that. So the way I see that $200,000 contingency being used up would be basically on a sliding scale. So as we're doing some of the works, we go, all right, well, we've only had to spend $100,000 on certain elements, and then we go, what's next off the list? So we can start picking those additional items off the list.
So you're saying the contingency of $200,000 could go up or down, although probably more likely to go down as you build things?
Correct. So that's obviously subject to firmer pricing coming back, because we are, as I mentioned, struggling to get some reasonable price, pricing coming back on some of the elements. That's why we've got a $200,000 contingency sitting there. And some of it might be used for additional drainage through the site, given what we've experienced over winter and the amount of water moving through there. We need to have a lot of drainage. But what I've shown you there today in terms of the concept diagram down the back end of Nature Play, all the bulk earthworks have already been done down there, funded through the department. So we've got it set up so that we can get in there and put in those additional elements, obviously subject to the available contingency that's left over as we're working through the main build. And then if there is a balance left over, we can look at how we can invest, let's call this in Zone B as opposed to Zone A, which is funded out of that $2 million.
Just one question. Do we have staff present who are able to offer some opinion on play value? And what I'm particularly interested in is that proposal that we've just seen versus the omitted items, which staff are obviously aware of. This picture is going to offer point of view.
Through the chair, I can comment this evening, this concept, which I've just seen tonight. The flying fox is an item that we put forward as an additional item. It wasn't part of the original design or deed, so that is an additional element. The other items there, there are other large log crossings across the site, and we do have some monkey bars. The monkey bars are one of the items that were reduced and were commented in within the council report. I think what Dew and Climbing Tree can provide here is use of the materials that they have on site, the natural materials, including logs and rocks, which will help build and craft these items. I think the positive, the bonus around what's been provided is that this encourages play further down to the pond area, which lineates the provision of play across the site.
So I guess the question was, if we've got that list of omitted items, the rock fossils, climbing ropes with platform, balance rope and stone crossings and amphitheatre, Flying Fox is also in that list that councillors received for this meeting. Ms. Pitcher, are you saying that the what's just been put up on the screen is likely to be of more play value or comparable, or you know, how would you put that?
Through the chair. I would suggest the gum nut sound sculptures. As far as play value, we still have sculptures. We still have one sculpture in there. The log table, which has been reduced to two, obviously doesn't play a lot on play value. The monkey bars have been reduced to two, but then there's one additional one within this concept provided. We had six creek crossings and now they're reduced to three. There are further creek crossings in what Dew have provided this evening. And as far as play value, one of the bespoke gum nuts was actually a spinner, and what Dew are proposing is to change that to two off-the-shelf spinners, which will still provide the same play value but at a reduced cost.
I'm not sure if that answers the question, but I'll throw it open to councillors, because this is a workshop presentation sort of thing which we don't normally have in a meeting, but it's only because we have a money decision to make in a moment that I'm encouraging discussion. But Councillor Duncan, then Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Jared and Renee, for all your information. When we had a site visit, we were talking about stage one and stage two. Is stage two is what you're proposing now, or is this a completely different concept to what you were talking about then?
So we would be able to build this into stage two.
Going back to when we were visiting, you said that stage two is a possibility. It wasn't a guarantee. And taking away what we're talking about tonight, when would that have been happened? If in the normal scope of things, if we don't go for more money.
So we had already put out stage two. I think we provided the council about a month or two ago, about a month and a half ago. So what we've done in terms of the way we've split up the work, so we did what we'll call it phase one and phase two. So we've put phase two back to Climbing Tree already. So that was around another package of just under $370,000 from memory. So that was a residual to get up to the $2 million. So anything, I guess, in addition that we're talking about tonight, we could also build into phase two of the build. So just an extension of that.
And what's the time frame for that?
So the timeframes we're looking at the moment is to have everything completed prior to the December school holidays, given the weather conditions that we've had, the problems around getting, you know, the timely build of some of these elements. So what we've really tried to do with package two and what we've presented tonight in terms of the concept plan is, as was mentioned, try to choose a lot of those materials which are already on site and have less off-site construction elements, because we know that that's where the major delays are for the big, you know, fabricated elements. It takes a good 3 or 4 months, like that tree tower that started construction months ago only arrived on site last week. So very long lead time frames. Anyone working in the structural steel industry at the moment will tell you how long the waits are. So, you know, we've designed the package with the intent of being able to build that as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Just to help Councillor Duncan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but whatever money you've got, you finish the next 3 months approximately, and I presume you can't predict when there might be any further money from state government to add additional items. Is that a fair comment?
Very fair comment.
So Duncan.
I just have one more question. The question is, if we match the contingency that you have already have, and do we have any guarantees that if you do not spend it, it actually comes back to us? I don't know if that's a fair question to ask, but
in other words, that model of spend the department's contingency, then add a council additional contingency. That's one thing we can consider in just a moment. If it's not spent, we don't pay it. Is that feasible?
Yes, that'd be feasible.
Thank you.
That's what you meant, Councillor Duncan.
Yes,
Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, reading the recommendation, there's a proposal to top up some money tonight, and I'll be glad to do that. But I want to make something known that here tonight I'm witnessing some signals that disturb me about project management. We've got silos, palpable silos.
Yeah, Councillor, I do take your point. Not a bad.
But I just want a reassurance.
All right. Yeah, carry on.
I just want a reassurance that this stops tonight, that we don't have a Department of Environment and Water staff member come in here that hasn't read our council agenda, that we don't have one of our staff members totally blissfully unaware of what the Department of Environment Water was going to propose tonight. This is not what we should be doing with project management. Can I get an undertaking that if we're going to put more money in, it'll be $2.2 million of ratepayers' money that we need to take accountability for, that this project management style is going to stop and we're going to have a better style going forward?
Well, I would suggest respectfully Mr. Eaton doesn't have to answer to us. He has other masters. But Mr. Harrison might want to comment on behalf of staff. I had initially raised that communication issue.
I think now, with the benefit of hindsight, more timely communication would have been appropriate, and greater levels of detail, granular detail about the scope of potential impact through reductions. But certainly, as you would know, this council was very strongly committed to an expectation that all of those components would be considered within the project scope. And despite escalation, as we often speak about from a Marion perspective, I guess it hasn't been till very recent times that we've become aware, certainly in a formal sense, that some of the scope was under threat of inclusion and delivery as well. So certainly going forward, if council makes a decision for additional funds, yes, I think it would have to be a very close, intimate relationship, project management relationship, over the next 3, 4, or 5 months to make sure that we capitalise and maximise of the inclusion of scope and maximising the benefit of the potential co-contribution of up to $400,000 as well.
Well, I think we've covered the ground pretty well. So thank you, Mr. Eaton, and thank you, Ms. Pitcher. Thank you, Mr. Harrison. So, Mr. Eaton, you can take your place in the gallery if you like. What I'm going to ask you to do, councillors, if you wish, is go to page 24 of the agenda, if you wish to strike while the iron is hot. But if people object and want to deal with other matters, of course, we can do that. Councillor Hull, sorry. You're objecting, or
no? I'm moving. If you allow me to, I will.
Yes, you're happy to move. There are some elements, Councillor, that need to be filled in. You can see the blanks at the top of page 25. So you'll need to include a particular figure, and I can suggest some wording for you, if you wish, in terms of the additional elements.
I'd welcome that, Mr. Mayor. May be a bit closer to this than many of us, so I'd welcome that advice.
Well, I'm doing my best to maybe read your mind, Councillor Hull.
Who's our liaison on the committee? Oh, well.
The Mayor and the ward councillors were given some significant new information a few weeks ago, and we visited the site since then. But just in terms of tonight, Councillor Hull, you know that I have ESP, elected member sensory perception. So I think you would probably favour that new project that was presented by Mr. Eaton which in fact includes a double flying fox, and we already had a flying fox on that list of missing items. So if you wanted to pursue that, I would suggest that part A, that could say double flying fox and surrounding additional play features presented by DEW at the Special General Council meeting.
Yep.
And then the figure that you want to incorporate, that's as printed, additional funding. Now it's just a question arising from Councillor Duncan's question. I'm not trying to put words into your mouth, but did you mean to be that is a definite 200,000 or as additional contingency funding?
Mr. Mayor, I want to see this job done properly. It's been unfortunate how it's unraveled, but tonight it's an opportunity to equip these people to do it properly than having a...
Councillor Hull, I think then the words as printed would suit your intention.
Yeah.
All right. So just making sure that staff have that. And Ms. McKenzie's just conferring with me. Just a moment. Yes, it's a technicality that Ms. McKenzie's raising. We should have a motion to note the report. So can you, Councillor, are you willing, Councillor Hull, to do that and move what you were just about to move anyway? It's just to note the presentation.
Well, it says notes the update on the Glenthorne citywide attraction nature play project and maybe just put in the report after that.
So, Councillor Hull, I'm just conferring with Ms. McKenzie and pointing out that the recommendation you were moving, Councillor Hull, already has in it notes the update on the Glenthorne Citywide Attraction Nature Play project. So that really satisfies that requirement. So you may proceed to speak to the motion. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I won't labour the point. I hope we've been listening about the shortcomings of project management that has been quite evident here tonight. It is $2.2 million of our money. Not only that, we are all taxpayers. Like, we're contributing in both ways, both our rates and as taxes. And this deserves better. And look, you know, we should be in the business of empowering the staff, both the government staff and our staff, to actually get a good outcome for our community. And we need to get this done right because, you know, like, say if it's just $2 million and then we skimp on this tonight, the $200,000, and we end up with a half-baked cake, that's not what our community want. So, you know, it is unfortunate that our costs are going up. We've actually felt that right across the city with different projects from Glandore Oval right down to the BMX and soccer and everything else. We know that. The government doesn't have to come and explain that to us. But we're in the business of helping, and we want to get it right. To coin the previous council as a council Pfeiffer, let's get it right the first time. You know, that's where I'm coming from, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan is seconding.
Yes, I'd like to second it, but I'd also like to say that I don't think we can actually criticise the management of the project because they probably are doing it in their style and not the style that we're used to. And I think we have to acknowledge that. And I think also I agree that we need to give the extra money so that we've got a complete a destination playground and it looks fantastic for the whole community.
Thank you. Is anyone speaking against or a point of order, Councillor Vlesky?
Question. Is there the risk that we won't get this because the increased cost? So is there a risk that this may not be enough to deal with the contingencies of the whole project, as well as delivering what we're asking for?
Well, I think you probably, I think it might be repetitive if we were to ask Mr. Eaton to come back. He put a figure of the additional item at approximately, we're not going to hold him to it, $250,000. So that would be within the $400,000, which now seems to be added to the project, acknowledging that that contingency money from due is also going to be soaked up by some other increases. So, look, I just don't think you can get any better information than that based on what we've heard tonight. If you want to do anything else with it, then it's up to you. Now is your opportunity to contribute to the debate.
Well, I'm supportive that, you know, we need a little bit of extra money, and we're going to get, from what we've been presented and told, we're going to get good value for that extra money because of the extra cost. But I guess, you know, if you're in the same position in 3 or 4 months' time, you know, do we need to allow for that? Or are they going to guarantee that they'll match the take care of the shortfall?
Well, I either take that as a rhetorical question, which is quite legitimate, or you're moving some sort of amendment, but I can't help you any further.
The question is, okay. I guess we'll just communicate with you and they'll let us know if we need to change anything.
All right, thank you. So there being no one speaking against, I can simply put the motion, all those in favour. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we look forward to updates. And thank you, Mr. Eaton, for coming along. As I did acknowledge at the beginning, you were doing the best you could within the budget. But I think everyone has also acknowledged there's been a breakdown in communication, and Mr. Harrison's addressing that to the extent that it needs to happen within City of Marion. Now, so you do feel free to leave, Mr. Eaton, any time you wish. We have a while to go yet. Councillors, back on page 17, we have a petition. If people are inclined to make long speeches about it, just bear in mind that we're obviously dealing with the Mitchell Park site in a moment anyway. But our customary response to such petitions is to note the petition and advise the head petitioner. But Councillor Vlescu? Could you have a microphone working if you're speaking, please?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to note the petition as is. So I guess just the one thing, just a little bit of semantics that it's a proposal for rezoning. So there's not actually a decision that's made. That decision is made tonight. So I guess it would be the appropriate thing would be to say not proceed with the with the decision for changing the community land status. So just the only pedantic thing there, but it's like to thank the local member for getting out and promoting our consultation as well as this survey. So that's made this outcome all the richer. So thank you for that.
Councillor Masika, to second the motion.
Yes, Your Worship, I'd like to second the motion based on that we have received a very good community consultation report. Anyway, the other three petitions 2 weeks ago, so we have enough information to proceed ahead and conclude the matters before us.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Oh, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now, with the leave of the meeting, if no one objects, we'll deal with the confidential matters at the end of the meeting. Councillor Vlescu, did you wish to object or...? Because that brings us to page 61, Mitchell Park. So, yes, you please go ahead.
Yeah. Just get the right one. Members, I'd like to move, I believe it's the option 4.1. I think it's important that we don't proceed with getting rid of the open space, and that we restart a process just to see how we can use the the building. So it's pretty obvious that there was a lack of awareness in the community. The kindergarten staff weren't aware of what was going on because of, you know, we contacted a higher up stakeholder. And I think also, you know, there were external parties that were not aware of this. There's a lot of organisations out there that do a lot of good work. You know, we have representatives from one of those here tonight, and there's a lot of others. So I think it's important that, you know, we look at what the options are for that site. And obviously bearing in mind that if we are to proceed with ownership, there are significant costs involved. But, you know, there may be an opportunity for an organisation that helps the community to actually engage in a long-term lease, a purchase. We don't know. And council, you know, may choose whatever, may choose not to have the facility there in the future. That's up to them. But I think it's important that we do have a transparent and fair process for all interested parties. And I think we need to be aware that, you know, there have been concerns raised with us from a charity that helps thousands and thousands of people who are concerned about preferential treatment and the perceptions of that. And I don't think that's helpful. I don't think that's been the case, but I don't think that that's helpful. We need to work with charities and make sure that everything's cohesive. And there's great opportunities with Marian Life as well. So they're very open to work with people. And they came to us last night and they service that area of the community. So, you know, regardless of what happens now into the future, you know, I'd definitely recommend charities to do that. And so I think also
time is up.
Oh, sorry.
If you want to have a final sentence, okay, but the time is up.
And I guess the other thing is for an interim thing, we still need to spend a fair bit of money. And we don't want to make it look like we're already picking favourites before going into a consultation process.
Right, thank you. Now, I'll ask for a second. Before I do, clearly there are four options there. If you prefer another option under the relatively unwieldy formal procedures that we have, you might want to, I guess you have a dilemma. You either vote for this one if you can live with it, or if you have another preference, you vote it down, and then we go through a sequence of motions to until we get one that's passed. So now I'll ask if there is a seconder. Councillor Clancy, thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. As I've spoken about this motion previously, we cannot do with any there's no such thing as surplus community land or space. And I think we do need to go back to the drawing board and look at options. And as Councillor Valescu has outlined, there's plenty of community members that weren't aware of the opportunities here. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just highlight for information that this particular option makes a decision not to proceed in relation to the open space component, and the expression of interest would be in relation to the building and the immediate area next to the building. Is there anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to remain consistent with this and throw my support behind the Puddle Jumpers proposal, which is option three, if this motion was to not succeed. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to point out that with the proposed motion, it's compelling this council to spend $150,000 in upgrades to a building to allow new incumbents to move in. Now, Puddle Jumpers have indicated they will wear that cost. They've got up to two benefactors actually will help them fund that, and they will not move into the building until the works are actually completed.
That is not my understanding of the
information. Is that a point of order, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
That is a crucial fact which you're presenting, which is contrary to what council has heard up to this point. Look, we've got Ms. Tate. You're talking about the $150,000 for disability upgrade, Councillor Hull.
Yes.
So Ms. Tate is in the gallery. Perhaps I could ask you to come forward, Ms. Tate, just to answer a yes or no question. Do you have committed funding for disability access upgrades to that extent?
Just press the button. My position is very clear on this. No, I don't have cash in the account to pay for that, but would I guarantee it would be done by other people? Yes. So I think what Mr. Hull is saying is that would puddle jumpers be able to get other people to pay that $150,000 or get that work done? Then the answer is yes. And that's the same story that I've given the council members the entire time, that I have renovation experience in spending $360,000 and getting 65 businesses on board to do a renovation. I don't think this level of a project would be a problem for me, no.
Thank you. Sometimes it's necessary to do a fact check. You may take your seat. Thank you. Councillor Hull, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Your time was paused during that interlude.
Yes, I appreciate that. Look, it's great to sort the wheat from the chaff with this. There's been so many red herrings with this whole saga, like the fact that we never got any expressions of interest from a local entity, and yet Puddle Jumpers is based at the Glandor Community Centre. So I incredulous stuff. We're looking for a fair process. These people went through a fair process for the last round of expressions of interest. That was absolutely fair. It was advertised. We had expressions of interest. And then we decided, we might actually sell the whole lot. And then threw the baby out with the bathwater. Now we're back to this point. Now, I just can't fathom how tough this might be for puddle jumpers going through the ringer with this council process, for lack of a better word. At every step, they've actually indicated that they're willing to pay the lease as required in that particular resolution, my favourite resolution. They've covered every base. And yet we still want to spend $150,000 on the next round of expression of interest to set up the successful tenant up. It could be Puddle Jumpers, but Puddle Jumpers is offering to do that before they move in. It will not be a risk to this council or anybody using that facility because the works will be done before anybody uses it.
Thanks, Councillor Hull. So now, just to explain to members of the public, our practice is to go back and forward between those forward and against. So that's why I now ask if anyone else wishes to speak in favour of the motion, which, by the way, doesn't commit the $150,000 for an upgrade. It notes that in the event of retention of the building, it would be required. So that would become a separate funding decision if and when required. Anyone else speaking in favour? If Councillor Valescu, you moved the motion. If there are no other speakers, it's up to you to then close the debate and address any issues raised in opposition.
I've just got a couple of questions. That would only be fair
if it relates to the submission that was made in the debate.
Yeah, it is. I guess if there's a party wishing temporary use of this facility and they're wishing to contribute an upgrade, what happens if they're not the successful party that is part of the expression of interest? Does that mean that does there any implied ownership, any issues with the organisation accepting the fact that they've spent $150,000 for a temporary process? That's, I guess, what my concern is.
I think I can answer that one, and staff can jump in if they wish. But if you're current motion is passed, then nobody would really be asked to spend the upgrade amount because the expression of interest process would take effect immediately. The motion favoured by Councillor Hull was the decision of council, then I suppose it would be a matter of negotiation as to how much and when the upgrade payment was made, depending on whether Councillor Hull used the staff recommendation for council allocation of those funds or whether it was left to Puddle Jumpers to make that contribution, as was just stated, before they moved in. It seems there are a couple of loose ends there, but Councillor Valescu, I think that's about all we can say. So Sorry, it's not question time now. Councillor Valescu is just finishing off the debate unless something arose from the discussion that we had.
Members, time and time again, we hear that there's shortfalls in our consultation. So this is an opportunity for that. For people that have put in an expression of interest, obviously they have that experience, any feedback they've received, they can build something stronger. We've had some last minute presentations and commitments, you know, obviously they can be developed further with a lot of rigour and be presented as part of this process. So I think that also by having an organisation in there, it puts them in a difficult position because they're there for a short time. In the meantime, if they're not successful, it also means that there's no perception of preferential treatment by other organisations or charities that may want to be considered. I think there's a lot of organisations, including this one, that help the neediest in our community, especially now that a lot of people are doing it really tough. I'm fortunate not to be in that position, but I do know what it's like. It's not a great place to be for many reasons. So I think going forward, let's see what is offered. There could be an opportunity for this charity, another charity. And we also need to look at how that facility will be used. But ultimately, for organisations as been around as long as puddle jumpers, I would say get in the ear of the state government. The state government gave lots of money away to sporting clubs before the last election as their commitment to sports. I think that this is an opportunity for them to commit for locations for charities. I think it, you know, could provide great bang for the buck. And I hope that those stakeholders can work with charities and also encourage charities to work with other charities for the same outcome for those most in need.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is tied. So it comes to the Mayor to offer a casting vote. And it is not necessary, but it is, I think, helpful to offer a few words just to explain which way the vote's going to go. When I look at this motion, which is for an expression of interest, and what we did approximately 6 months ago, asking for an expression of interest, I ask what has changed. I think a couple of things have changed. One is that the initial setting of the council, at least in terms of the staff and maybe some informal discussions, was that we had this new $16 million building, and therefore the old Mitchell Park Centre was redundant. So unless there was a very good reason, it could go. I think the community have spoken very loudly that they certainly don't want the open space to go. And now there's this question about the building. The other thing that is new is that the expression of interest last time was asking for people who might want to use the building, implying that it would be for lease. Now, recently, out of the woodwork, there came a proposition, somebody to buy it for on behalf of a non-profit association to do more or less charitable or health-related or educational works. Now, the fact that somebody's come out of the woodwork in that intervening period does make me wonder, are there others? So when I look at the other options of either allocating to one particular group or another one of the options before us tonight on paper is to demolish the building and return it to open space, I think the safest option is to run another expression of interest process. And we can look in more detail from everyone who applies about exactly what use they're proposing, what capital they're, if any, they're proposing to put forward, whether it's to purchase the whole building or renovate the building, what lease they're prepared to pay, whether they have financial capacity, etc. We know some of the answers about some of the people that are interested, but we don't know all of the answers about all of the people who might be interested. So I vote in favour of the motion, so the motion is passed. Divisions called by Councillor Hull, so this is the formal process for recording the votes of the elected members. So I put the question again. This is the motion for a further expression of interest with a definite retention of the open space component of the Cumbria Court site. All those in favour, raise your hand. sorry, I meant stand in your place. And we have Councillors Masika, Councillor Vlescu, Councillor Clancy and Councillor Hutchinson. You may sit down. I'll ask those voting against to please stand. They are Councillors Pryor, Hull, Schilling and Duncan. You may sit down. So once again, it is a casting vote. For the reasons I've explained, the Mayor will vote in the affirmative, so the motion is passed. And that concludes the matter for now. Thank you to members of the public for attending. I know there's a lot of passion about it, but at least it does leave the way open for a fair presentation of what you can offer in that building. And councillors, we move on to page 134, the expert panel review of the planning system. The we may need staff to come forward, I suspect. There is a suggestion there of potential additional matters. Can I just ask, we may want a suspension of standing orders, but I'll just ask initially, does anyone have any additional matters? You'll see that staff have listed quite a substantial number of technical improvements that could be made to the code. Well, it may be as simple as this. The one additional reform that I would suggest, and it's an overarching strategic view of it, and I've suggested this to the Minister directly as well, but it needs to be in a document like this, that it's all very well for the state government to have these specific zones, which are all uniform. So if there's an employment zone or a residential zone of a certain kind, it's the same anywhere in the state. But what I'm suggesting is that rather than a socialist approach of having those zones imposed upon us, that councils should be able to choose which zone for which area, which suburb or which location. And that would be the most fundamental reform. I mean, even if you changed nothing else, it means councils could say, we're going to protect that little quiet residential neighbourhood from greater infill, but we're going to encourage high density along a main road or something like that. So that's the principle that I'd like to suggest we include. But Councillor Hull?
Couple of questions. If Mr. Della Coombs could avail us to the proposed changes put to the government about trees and protecting our significant and regulated trees. And the other question I have is going back to this council's position with the previous government about the Adelaide, well, the Plains area, about stopping urban infill. Are we back to that point of actually taking the same case to the government to actually try and slow down urban infill and the impacts on our streets?
Della Coombs.
Thank you, through the Chair. I'm just getting to the relevant section of the report. I can start with the second item the councillors raised just in regards to council's previous position raised on zoning as a result of the housing diversity DPA process that council undertook many years ago now and only recently approved prior to the introduction of the planning design code. So those issues that council raised at the time of the submission will be rehashed and resubmitted as part of this submission because many of those issues remain prevalent. So that's it for that one. In regards to trees, I think the industry has been discussing some changes, and certainly the new Minister for Planning has heard from councils and the public that the system for trees isn't good enough. So I think staff will further articulate some technical aspects to our submission, which is what we're proposing to do. So we have these high level issues that council is choosing to put its hand on to say, look, these are the top issues that council is facing in regards to the planning system. And together with our engineering team, arborist team, environmental team, we'll hash out really that detailed technical feedback with the knowledge that these are the issues that council are facing, i.e. The destruction of trees on private property and perhaps a loosening of regulated tree conditions that we've faced in this new system. I'm happy to take further questions if...
Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I, with those two issues, I don't know whether my colleagues agree with me, but these are the planning issues that keep some of us awake at night. And I'm just wondering, these are the issues that confront us a lot in our own community. I'm just wondering how much we can underline and make that in bold text to Minister Champion. You know, maybe a question for the CEO, because I think it's a super important issue. I'd welcome views of my colleagues about this right now, because if I'm wrong, then...
Councillor Hull, would you like to move suspension of standing orders and we can just refine this a bit more? You're posing the questions, but we probably...
Yeah, no, look, I would welcome that so we can have a bit of a discussion about it.
Yep. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, thank you. Is all those in favour? Well, that's carried unanimously. So we just need to, if there are to be any additions, et cetera, we just need to crystallise exactly what they should be, and then I'll ask for a show of hands whether it should be included. So, Councillor Hull, you pick one, and then we'll just work on that.
It really is a package, and Councillor Pryor and I, we've had a common thought about this for a long time. We're not in the business of denying the government the opportunity to have some consolidation, and we stop urban sprawl and all that. I get it.
Yeah. So what would be how would you sum it up in a sentence? You know, what should be done?
We'll continue to identify areas of our city where they can actually go for it, Marino and wherever else, where they can go up and do whatever they want to actually create infill and consolidation of the population. But to leave the areas that we cherish alone.
Perhaps that's in a way comes back to the mayor's suggestion earlier. Can I just see if there's any appetite for that proposal that councils choose which of a number of standard zones should apply in a particular area? Hands up if you think it's a good idea. Most people. See, Councillor Hull, that if that was allowed, it would solve your problem. We would say, right, middle of Warradale or middle of Oaklands Park, whatever. No, we're going to limit the infill. Other areas we could have higher density. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, look, this takes us back 4 years, really. We did an extraordinary amount of work to get to the point where we changed the development plan significantly across council, the zonings and everything. And then the state saw fit to turn them all back to the previous plan and accept all of our high density changes, which was quite frankly a bit of a slap in the face. So I would have thought that if our submission contained nothing else other than point two, which is the Marion Plains area, and the same or the equivalent down south version, I think what we're missing here is we're missing the sort of the priority of what we're suggesting. There's 20 items, 15 of them are relatively low hanging fruit. And number two will get glossed over because it's hard to do. I think we should be expressing our feeling that number two is really important to this council. And I don't know how we do that in our submission. We really need to make our case. We did 4 years of work on this justifying it, and the minister at the time accepted it. And so I don't see why it's now gone on as the old zone for so long and worse than the old zone. So that's a part of it. And Mr. Della Coombs, you can respond to that. That'd be good.
Yeah, I note that the idea is the submission be signed off by both Mayor and Chief Executive. So you could rely on the Mayor to add proper emphasis to those really critical elements which are most important to the community. But at the same time, our planning staff must be well aware of those really crucial issues. And there must be a way, not just a table of 25 different technical points, but there must be a way of highlighting the key issues, maybe in prose, the covering letter, as well as the table. Mr. Delacombs, what do you think?
Thank you, through the chair. That's exactly my thoughts and was going to be my comments. So the table on page 144 and 145 and that attachment to the report does have a list of those items. I suggest we work together to ensure that those are properly prioritised. You'll see number one there at the moment is the previous Marion Plains policy area technical numerical variations. That was the previous submission of council. I do note at the moment trees is down to number 10. I suggest that would be further up the list and that together a covering letter on our submission would really hone in and emphasise those points to a degree that I think council will be satisfied.
So, Councillor Hull, getting back to your point about trees, are you actually happy with what's in the table? Is it, you know, will your question really be addressed by appropriate emphasis in the submission?
Hey, so we're talking about page 145, item 10. Can we improve on that? I suggest we get some of our arborists to advise our planning staff as to how we appropriately do that. And that could be, as Councillor Pryor knows, appropriate setback of the trees from properties to protect the root zones, things like that, critical things where, you know, up until quite recently, houses were being built literally underneath trees. Surprise, surprise, family moves in, worried about tree branches falling and the tree goes. You know, we need to stop that. You know,
I may, Councillor Hull, just kind of condense that into a question. With that item on trees on page 145, I would ask staff, in light of Councillor Hull's comments, what's the solution? I mean, we know that the widespread destruction of trees is continuing and you can, in a sense, knock down an old one and then put up a baby one to satisfy some of the code requirements. But what would we change in the code to address this issue? Do staff have any idea of that?
Through the chair, yeah. Firstly, it is just for council to note that we did have sort of under a week to prepare this report, ready for this meeting. So it was always intended to be fleshed out. But council will note on page 146, just a little bit further down in the technical staff suggestions, a little bit of an expansion on some of those tree issues. First is the requirement for a tree to be planted. We need some better regulation around that. And item 24 goes to the point that council is discussing at this moment, which includes an expansion of the list, essentially that can be removed. At the moment, we would seek to refine that list so that less species can be removed for development in our
council. So again, in the covering letter, those various trees points could be rolled into one paragraph and strengthened, maybe with some possible solutions. Maybe there are more we can think of. Councillor Hull, does that answer your query?
Yeah, enough? It's a shame we can't have a broad-based approach to this where Resilient South actually have opportunity to actually comment on this as well, because losing our tree canopy is also a climate change adaptation.
Councillor Hull, I mean, the point is there. It's literally there on the page. I think it probably is a matter of stressing it sufficiently. And maybe some of that climate change work, Resilient South work, could be incorporated into that message, because we are doing good work in that area. It'd be a shame not to utilise it at this point.
Well, we've won an award for that, Mr. Mayor. It's a matter of now applying those learnings.
Local government award. Now you're impressing me.
I know, but, you know, it's a matter of walking the talk.
Let's keep going. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, the second one that like to raise is the abilities of a private certifier to certify a block which has a minor variance. And we've already put down what is a minor variance. It looks like we're talking about more of a context of what we consider a minor variance in council. If a private certifier is going to certify minor variances, they need to have some structure around what a minor variance is. Otherwise, what's minor for one private certifier might not be minor for the other one. And how far do you stretch minor? And if you keep stretching, where does it break? That needs a really quite a rigid definition. And I don't think the Planning and Design Code can do that, to be honest. I think the Planning Act probably doesn't do that. So something needs to give there. There needs to be some guidance given on that topic.
Mr. Delacombs, is it a matter of applying a percentage? Would that even be possible? Or do we go so far as recommending that we scrap the system of private certifiers that's now been in place for 25 years?
Thank you. Through the chair, this is one that we were involved quite extensively in a working group leading through the reforms together with state government and together with private certifiers, state government and local government planners, lawyers. No one could find a good solution. It was suggested by government that a practice direction setting out the different measures for what constitute a minor variation, some percentages and others articulated differently. However, we're yet to see anything come out from that. So we believe it is that can has just been kicked down the road. However, it is worthwhile council noting there has been a decline in private certification. I think the with the system changeover, those seeking to push the boundaries have had more to risk in the new system with the way that the certification scheme and accredited professional review scheme has been set up. So we have seen a decline in certifications come through.
Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't surprise me that was the outcome of the meeting with 100 million people in it. The only sensible outcome is to give private certifiers fixed jurisdiction to say there's no variances allowed. This is what you're allowed to certify. This is what you're not allowed to certify. And that's the only solution that works. The percentage one may work, but then of course everyone's just gonna you might as well make the cutoff 90% instead of 100%. So I think proposing that perhaps the private certifiers can't certify things with variation, that's things with minor variances, then that makes sense to me. But if it's not as big a problem, then I would have expected it to be a larger problem than that. So maybe it's in hand.
Yes, I'm still one that thinks that private certifiers could be bumped out of the system. We'd probably improve the standard. But what about that sort of halfway house, Mr. Delacombs, that you can have a private certification if there's no variation? Would that be realistic?
I think more needs to be explored. I don't think the system works at the moment in the way it's set out, and we could certainly put forward some more ideas.
Well, the problem is this is the time to do it.
we have suggested a period of another 4 to 6 weeks to refine this submission and bring it off. If there was particular issues, we do have minor variation in there as an issue that council is putting forward. So we do have some time to refine our commentary in relation to that specifically.
Any other councillors with a view on private certifiers? All right, we'll just leave it for that refinement of the submission. Councillor Pryor, you want to keep going?
Just quickly, the private certifier thing and the minor variance thing, they're together, but they're separate as well. I mean, the minor variance thing needs to be sorted out for council. So we have our planners and they know what is a minor variance. The private certifiers should not be allowed to do minor variances because there's no definition around minor.
And it can't be. That's the problem.
Yeah, and they'll never define anything. And therefore, the private certifier, if the block meets, if the development meets all of the criteria and it's a tick and flick, yes, you can go get it done by a private certifier and that will take load off council. And it'll give designers and developers a path to go if they want a quicker approval through council.
Let's move on from that point. More work to be done. Councillor Valescu.
Really, what would happen if there's shortcomings as a result of the private certifier and a little bit more clarity on who's responsible? That's what I would want to know, because I think a lot of the times there's shortfalls that aren't found out immediately. And who has to fix it and who bears the cost?
That's the problem. Once it's approved, I mean, there's virtually no going back on a bad decision. There might be some professional challenge, but Well, Mr. Della Coombs, any final thoughts on that?
Thank you, through the chair. That further emphasises my point, but we have seen a reduction in certifications due to that point, due to the accreditation scheme being strengthened, an increase in potential liability for those private certifiers, resulting in them doing less of those approvals. However, I do think we can pick up on Council's point and put in a separate point into that table to reflect further clarity and transparency on the accreditation system and a reduced ability for certifiers to perform a function with a minor variation.
So far I've heard little that are actually new points. It's more a matter of expanding what's in there and stressing certain points. Councillor Holm.
Associated one, Mr. Mayor, and it's number two on the list, and that's about car parking. It's incredulous that this government is proposing that we have a reduction of both on-street and off-street car parking when we know that we've got streets where we've actually got to put a yellow line down one side of the road so we can get our garbage truck through. How can that be? The other thing is, with electric cars come in, we're being told, oh, they'll get charged at home. But if they're not actually parking on their property, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, we were actually told they wouldn't be charged at home primarily, but it's the parking problem is 100% acknowledged. What could we be saying in this submission? It is probably the number one community point of unrest. Mr. Della Coombs, ideas?
Thank you. I think at the very least, Council will be seeking to reinstate some of the limits that were previously in place in the development plan, which is what we've articulated. So I think at the very least that...
Maybe that could be one of the stressed points as well. I know it rates very highly with the community as a concern. Councillors, we're still, without standing orders, but can I just test this one again? Because, all right, there may only be a few of us in the room, but do people... Can I just have a show of hands again? Who thinks we should move to a system where councils select which zone for which suburb, whether it be high, medium, low density? Okay, so we do have that unanimous support. So can that be constructed? Which of a number might help? Okay. Well, that should do it because the rest can be worked up in the submission.
Can I just clarify, Chair? Yes. Is that articulating that it is a change away from the minister having the final say and that councils then become the decision maker for?
Complete change of course. So much as there used to be a library of planning terms, definitions, you have a library of standard zones, and Marion Council says, well, okay, Warradale, we're going to choose, or between here and here is going to be medium density, but no more. But that area over there next to the train line, that can be high density. And we choose from, so that it achieves the objective of the developers who lobbied to have these standardised zones across the whole Adelaide metro area, because they can still say, all right, it's that zone. I know exactly to the metre what that zone allows because it's one of a standard number of zones. So it should satisfy that, but at the same time, balance that with the community, which after all, council's representing.
Mayor, I think what you're saying, this council's rejecting the John Rau and the Stephen Canal mantra of planning in this regard, because it's been across both sides of politics that have imposed this on our community.
Well, I'm not going to name names of particular ministers, but yes, I did say I was rejecting the socialist approach. So let us leave it have someone move the motion. We've got a little adaptation up on the screen. Moved by Councillor Hull, seconded by Councillor Pryor. We've had thirded against someone else. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Look, it's a bit tricky, but we needed to have that discussion, and we know it's very important to the community. Thanks, Mr. Della Coombs, and thanks, Mr. Malhuish. Now, the MAB circuit road closure, as I understand it, there's now no one objecting, And it's a fairly technical road closure to allow improvement to the infrastructure. Councillor Hull?
I'd move, Mr. Mayor. I checked this out with staff today. It's a very minor adjustment to allow some off-street car parking for a proposed new use for the old powerhouse. So.
Seconded by Councillor Duncan. Thank you. Nothing further to add. No one speaking against. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? You carried unanimously. Thank you. And now I go to page 156. This is about the coach house. We've said we were going to fix it up. Obviously, there has to be a funding deed. This is varying the deed to have different dates. Fair enough. Moved Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded Councillor Hull. No further comment. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And that concludes this. Almost got there. We come to the confidential items, which you kindly agreed to put to the end of the meeting. So would someone like to move the two cover reports on block? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we deal initially with the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee meeting minutes, apart from the named managers, et cetera, and staff. We'll have a few people exit and close the doors. Have a 5 minute break, so I make it on my computer 2019, come back at 2024 for the forum. Thank you. Doors may be opened.